cliffcentral.com.
Hi there, it's Michael Kahn here, and I'm in studio at the CX Innovation and Tech Fest with Brett Lindsay. We are talking about innovation around customer experience and the disruption thereof. How are you, Brett?
I'm well, Mike. How are you doing? That was a very formal start to a Futurology podcast.
It was.
And when you say studio, it's very loosely interpreted as a big auditorium at the Maslow.
Fantastic, though, isn't it? They've given us a whole auditorium. I feel quite special. But Brett, it's been a fantastic 2 days here.
It really has.
And, you know, this is an introduction to all of our guest speakers who have joined us in our makeshift studio, our outside broadcast.
Yep.
And how have you found it, Brett?
It's really insightful. I like the fact that there's a lot of local speakers, all sharing case studies and use cases from local businesses doing things to impact the customer service area within our country.
100%.
And it's great to see that. I mean, we've always known South Africa is a great hotspot for innovation. And it's great to have innovation, but it's another thing to execute it and put it into the workplace. And
absolutely.
There's great things happening in South Africa. So that's encouraging.
And inspiring. But it's also been quite interesting listening to a lot of the comments in the audience. It's really interesting to see a lot of the challenges people are faced around innovation and this world of disruption with technology.
Yeah.
Which is really what we're doing here. It's really about the inspiring part of what we offer as a podcast, as an organization.
For sure.
Getting into organizations and inspiring people to shift their thinking around that.
Yeah, so rather than being afraid of the future, start embracing the possibilities around that change.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool. The great thing about customer experience as a focus is that it's about the people again.
100%. Absolutely.
So it's not technology-led. It's not all these things that are sometimes too big to understand or comprehend. It comes down to the person. It comes down to a real need with real people.
Absolutely.
And we can inspire that change to say, don't fear, embrace that change, let's go.
Absolutely, which is critical. But Brett, do you want to just give us a very brief introduction to what this is all about?
Cool. So in short, it's the CX Innovation and Tech Fest, where they celebrate people, technology, ideas, and innovations that are literally transforming the way businesses make and keep customers. That's the important thing. So it's one thing to get them, but how do you retain them?
Absolutely.
And that's it's around service. And what is the big talk around CX and what are we doing innovatively? What are we doing things? But it comes down to the fact that we know the world is changing.
Absolutely.
Customers are more demanding. Customer loyalty is decreasing. New technologies are constantly emerging. And it's how do you get your market share? As a business that has a huge consumer base, how do you get that market share? How do you attract them? How do you keep them? How do you seduce them to stay with you or even come across from the dark side? And you've got to make sure that it's the USP that you start to have is around customer experience and the customer service. It's not so much low-cost pricing anymore. It's not high-quality product. It's what is your brand? What is the combination of all of that?
Absolutely.
And there's great discussion happening here at this. And it's round about how technology has become an essential tool to enable a shift in thinking with business to move more into a CX way of life. And it's really great to see it happening here in Johannesburg.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy this podcast. What we have done is we've changed the format here. So please download this podcast. And the rest of the CX podcasts are available on our Futurology homepage on Cliff Central.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on Twitter, we have a Twitter handle at Futurology Show. And you can tweet us as much as you like. And we'll be tweeting out some of the shows as well. So follow
Absolutely.
Us.
Fantastic. Enjoy.
Our next guest here at the CX Innovation and Tech Fest is Tony Hughes, author and speaker around all things customer experience. Tony, thank you for your time today.
Hey, Brett, thanks for having me on.
Excellent. And I got the privilege of only seeing parts of your talks, but the parts that I did see were amazing. So
you're the guy that walked out.
I was the guy that walked out, yeah, the one. So a captive audience is good, but unfortunately, yeah, we've been running around today trying to see all the different speakers and really looking forward to talking to you today. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Excellent. But all things CX, and you're talking about CX in the business and how B2B needs to think more B2C.
Can I interrupt you?
You will always interrupt me. Yes.
Let's just understand who Tony is first.
I was getting there.
Oh, you were getting
there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just checking because you're a bit slow off the mark this morning.
B2B needs to learn from B2C, and you mentioned some really great things, but tell us from your words then, what is important in the world of customer experience?
Well, the interesting thing with customer experience is it's kind of become the new black. 90% of organizations are all saying that they're focused on CX, and it really begs the question that if almost everyone is focused on the same thing, how is it going to become a point of difference for them as they go to
market? Absolutely.
But the thing I find is that, like most things in life, it's not about the idea or the strategy. It's all about execution.
Yeah, yep. It's about the doing.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
And so many organizations will have great CX or business plan market differentiation strategies that they just don't execute on at all well. So the most basic thing of doing web to lead, well, for example, you touch someone's website, you fill in a form, you know, what happens after that? I see companies that are driving what they think are amazing CX strategies and they haven't got their most fundamental basic thing right. Mm. So it's all about execution.
Absolutely.
For sure. You talk about culture a lot in your talks, and there's customer experience as a strategy, and obviously you're talking about execution, but it needs to be built in at a cultural level.
Well, to me, culture is nothing more, nothing less than the behavior of the leaders.
Yeah.
So if an organization claims to be customer-centric, if they claim to be driving customer experience strategies, my view is if the CEO is not the person that's actually behind all of that, then the organization's in trouble. And it's for this reason. If a CEO looks around their boardroom table at their general management team, all their senior executives, as they look around that table, the one common link where all of the pieces that deliver customer experience feed up to, the first point where it all joins up is them.
Absolutely.
Like it's the CEO. So I think the CEO needs to change their title to Chief Experience Officer.
Yeah, 100%.
And they need to go personally drive this. They need to become more transparent. They need to be willing to jump into social, go visit clients, go sit with people in their call center. If you look at people like Richard Branson, he'll happily go and jump on the front line of every single enterprise that he's ever driven.
Yeah.
He has great empathy for his staff. And one of the things that he says I think is important for everybody in business is that you have no chance of delivering great customer experience if you don't first deliver great employee experience.
Yeah, true.
And I jokingly said in my press presentation that great customer experience begins with sex.
Yes.
It's superior employee experience is the foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were playing with CXX.
There we go. There's nothing slow about this.
It works
podcast.
Well.
It does work well.
No, it works well.
But a key word that you used there, Tony, was the word empathy. Because this is really about how we interact with each other as human beings, which is typically an irrational process. You know, and if we look at the world today and the broader culture of business, you know, and the shareholder activism, et cetera. I mean, it's almost counter to what we need to be as customer experience experts.
Yeah, and people, I think, are becoming very distracted by technology.
Yes.
And they become overwhelmed. So as an organization, you think, man, there's not enough money on the face of the planet for us to implement all of the bits and pieces of tech to go and deliver customer experience.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's not about the technology.
No.
It is about empathy. And to me, there's three key things that our customers think about us, things that they want us to believe and act on. And the first is they expect us to truly know them.
Yeah.
They know that we've got lots of data on them. They've got lots of data themselves, so they push that into the ether on Facebook,
absolutely.
LinkedIn, all those other platforms. So in their minds, you've got the data. You need to truly know me.
100%.
The second thing that they absolutely expect is they expect us to personalize their experience. And this is not about technology, right?
No,
so,
it's not.
So truly know me, personalize my experience. And then the third thing that I believe customers are really wanting is they're wanting us to anticipate their needs.
Yeah.
So we need to show some level of insight on how we engage, and we need to be able to engage omni-channel. So whether that's web, phone, face-to-face in a store with somebody, with tools, apps, online.
Absolutely. It was an interesting, I think it was Jack Ma from Alibaba who said, you know, when you talk about omni-channel, there is no omni-channel. It's just retail. I mean, he's obviously talking to his context.
Yeah.
That you've got a customer and I'm selling to my customer and it's about that individual rather than about the different channels. And we get too distracted with the noise of those channels. How are things progressing down in Australia? Because you're an Australian, judging by your accent there.
I am.
There
I
we
am.
Go.
Yeah, so
you are spot on.
I am. I'm observant.
The good thing about Australians is we're not quite as depressing as the English and we're not quite as obnoxious as the Americans.
Right? Oh, okay. And how would you define the South Africans?
Great for customer experience.
Very much like Aussies.
Okay, there we go. But how are things progressing down in Australia from a customer experience? What great stories have you got coming out of there?
I think great stories are very rare.
Okay.
Great stories are rare. And you go back to some of the timeless classics. I know that Apple... Yeah. is losing its way, but I converted my whole life away from Windows over to Mac 5 years ago, and I left the corporate world and went out on my own doing this. And they blew my mind, and
yeah.
And they've completely removed from me concern about price.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And the interesting thing on the research that I put up in some of my slides in the last 2 days is that corporate executive board researched 5,000 buyers. They said, what causes you to select one supplier over the other?
Yeah.
And brand and the attributes of what you're selling together are less than 40%. Price is only 9%,
100%.
And 53% is the experience that they have in engaging with the organization. And,
no, absolutely.
And for me with Apple, the thing that that blew me away is initially I'm thinking, man, their stuff's all very expensive.
Mm.
I thought, oh, well, I guess they load in their support all up front and you pay for it. But when I needed that support, I was just shocked. So I jumped online thinking,
okay.
Here we go, I've got a problem. And there was a button that said, would you like someone to call you? I thought, this will be interesting. 90 seconds later, my phone rang.
Amazing.
And I was getting support. And the thing I love is I speak at a lot of conferences, and I have a little HDMI adapter I use to plug into projectors.
Yeah.
I'm forever leaving them places.
Yes.
They're about $50. But I went into an Apple store, and I can just walk up, get the thing I need, the adapter, scan it with my iPhone app, pay for it, walk out of the store, never have to talk to anybody.
Yes.
And yet I can also walk in there and say, hey, I need to get a new machine. Can I talk to somebody about what the right machine is?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Whether I just want to transact and don't want to talk to a human being, whether I want to do it online, whether I want someone on the phone, whether I want to go and get some trusted advice in a store, I can go into a Genius Bar and resolve issues, get educated.
Yeah.
So they've thought about journey mapping different buyer personas and thought, well, you know, let's meet them in the channel in the way that they want.
Absolutely.
Are you finding, so as consumers and as customers, we're getting more discerning with our experience that we're expecting from brands and businesses. So are you finding that businesses and brands are responding to that need, or are they being proactive in meeting that need or anticipating that need?
Let me answer that in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
I think B2B sellers need to learn from B2C.
Yes.
There's some horrible, evil trends that are going on in B2B selling retailers have been dealing with for quite a while. But some of these things are the average transaction size is getting smaller.
Yeah.
The complexity of selling is actually getting higher. There's more and more people to actually cover. Organizations are more and more risk averse. They want consensus.
Yeah.
There's more and more competition that's actually out there. And buyers are increasingly distrustful of the claims made by sellers.
Yes.
So selling's actually becoming more difficult. And the challenge that B2B sellers have got is they're running out of hours in the day to do the necessary number of transactions where they can hit their number.
Yeah.
So B2B sellers can fall into this trap of we've got to force people through channels that make it economic for us.
Absolutely.
Rather than think about how do we just go deliver a great experience for the right kind of customer. People need to think about, what does my dream client look like? Let's get away from evangelism to alignment. Let's find people that are a great fit, that we'll love to have as a customer, that will love to be our customer and stay loyal and do such a great job. Those people become your sales force.
Catering for, not convincing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How do you go about doing that? Because that's a really tough ask, to find the right customer that aligns to what you're trying to do. So some ideas on how to do it.
Yeah, so all of us need to think about the intrinsic value in the thing it is that we offer, and we need to be very clear about the problem that we solve, why it's important, and what the business case is behind it for someone to work with us.
Yeah.
And then based on that, we can then target very, very effectively.
Yes. Okay, cool. Fantastic.
Cool. Oh, to me?
I was looking at you, sorry.
To me.
Sorry, I thought you had a question there.
You had a great case study of Qantas Airlines and Captain Richard
DeCrepney.
DeCrepney, thank you. There's a lot more consonants than vowels in that name.
There is.
Wow, okay. But he had an interesting incident where it was all technology-based failures that were yielding a result. But tell us a bit more of that story. And the important thing was how it ended when he addressed the passengers.
Yes, I'll give you the short version of this, but QF32 out of Singapore back in 2010, Rolls-Royce engine exploded. It put 200 pieces of shrapnel faster than the speed of sound through the aircraft, the fuselage and fuel tanks. They were at 6,500 feet, so luckily they weren't at an altitude where you'd get decompression. Otherwise, it would have been catastrophic.
Yeah.
The fuel tank caught fire, but it's actually vapor that explodes, not fuel. And
The tanks were full.
And avgas fuel is actually kerosene, so it's got lower thermal properties than petrol. But it caught on fire and just blew itself out. but the plane was 65% degraded. Long story short, they did an incredible job getting that plane back on the ground safely. Absolutely incredible job. Incredible airmanship, incredible teamwork, and it was man and technology working really well together. Richard's actually a software engineer himself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, by profession. And when he converted to the Airbus A380, he took the time, massive amounts of time, to understand Airbus flight law and how all those algorithms work that he would be working with in an incident. And all of that really paid off. But when they got the plane on the ground and they got the passengers back into the terminal, Richard went into the passenger terminal and said, when you fly Qantas, you're flying with a premium airline and you have every right to expect a far better level of service.
Yeah.
Right now, there's 1,000 Qantas employees mobilized. We're going to get you into hotels. We'll give you vouchers for underwear and toiletries. We'll try and get you your baggage. He said, but if you don't get the level of service that you believe that you deserve to get flying with this premium airline, right now, I want you to get out your mobile phone or a pen and paper. I'm going to give you my mobile phone. So,
okay.
And you call me if you don't believe you're treated the way that you deserve to be or you believe you should be. Now, that's an incredible thing. You know, he was actually off work with, in essence, post-traumatic stress disorder later.
Yeah.
It's a very stressful event.
But I can imagine.
But his view was, we all represent the brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here. I need to serve my customers. And even as the captain in command of a plane, he would always walk the entire aircraft, every flight, not to be the big man who's commanding the plane. You know, look at me. It wasn't about that. It was he knew that the cabin crew would do a better job for passengers if they knew the captain would be walking around. They didn't want someone saying to the captain, okay, hey, I asked for a blanket an hour ago. Where is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he jumped into the mode of chief customer experience officer for the airline and did a brilliant job.
The leader's determining that culture, which is brilliant.
Exactly, and it's behavior.
Yeah.
And a couple of points, because, I mean, just by giving the cell phone number across, he diffuses any potential issue immediately. You kind of have that empathy coming through again. But did he get any calls?
Not one. Not one person phoned him.
There you go.
But he has this incredible fan base online. He's put up a website for all the passengers. I mean, it's an incredible experience to go through.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's a shared experience. And
people love him. He's an incredibly authentic, humble, and smart, capable guy.
Yeah, but I think also the point there is, by giving his number out and no one called, You assume everyone's going to be phoning, so I've got to hide myself away from the customer.
True.
You know, by being leadership is to stand out, but also being willing to take it. And most people actually genuinely are quite happy, and the minute you diffuse the situation, it makes it a lot more simple. Mm.
Well, Michael, I've worked with CEOs and said to the CEO, you as the CEO need to build a stronger personal brand online. You need more transparency, get a better LinkedIn profile, start to be available. And a good percentage of them are just so against it. They think, I don't want clients. I don't want customers calling me. That's why I have my line managers all under me. I want to be protected from that. But to me, you can't be a leader unless you're willing to put yourself out there. You need to carry the brand, the culture, the values yourself.
Well, you can't say you give a premium service if you're not if you as the premium level of business aren't available.
Yeah, that's right, Brett.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
One question I have is sort of this idea of big data and analytics and everybody diving so deep into the interpretation of the numbers. How much empathy is actually going into strategy around consumer experience? Because there are ultimately people's experiences we're trying to cater for.
Yeah, the answer's not much, right? So there's those five big things that have been driving business for quite a while now. So social, mobile, cloud, big data, and now AI.
Yeah.
And where you can get all of those things to come together for great customer experience is where you're going to create game-changing go-to-market strategies for businesses.
Yeah.
But when you look at big data, like it's kind of deja vu with CRM. I saw so many organizations implement customer relationship management software not being clear about what it was they were trying to achieve.
It was about the technology, not the people.
Yeah, and what a lot of them ended up with is contact databases and untrusted pipeline forecasting tools, whereas if you implement CRM in a way where you enable sales process for people, you create a single source of the truth for customer experience, because you can't deliver great customer experience if you don't have a single source of truth about what's going on with the customer.
Absolutely.
So it should be used to really bring marketing, sales, customer service, and God forbid even admin and finance together, because they can create lots of rubbing points for customer sat, customer experience. But you can use customer experience and things like CRM as platforms and rallying points to get everyone focused on How do we go deliver a great experience for this type of customer at this part of their journey?
Absolutely.
So journey mapping and buyer personas are really important when you design. Sure.
Brilliant. One comment that you made, I actually retweeted it, which was brilliant, which is business happens at the speed of trust.
Yes.
And it's really important, not just for a customer experience, but for that feeling that I'm connecting with a brand where I'm secure. They know me, and I'm happy to let them know me.
Yes.
But elaborate more on the trust, the speed of trust.
Yeah, so that's actually Stephen Covey's book, The Speed of Trust. I'm actually doing a talk to a bunch of CEOs in Sydney in a couple of weeks called Leadership at the Speed of Trust. But
brilliant.
But my real point is that nothing can happen in business without trust. I mean, you guys wouldn't be in business together doing this podcast if you didn't trust each other.
No, absolutely.
So
we love you, Brett. We love you, Brett.
Are you guys going to kiss?
No. Yeah, no. That's between Brett and the other Brett and myself.
Yeah,
Mike's sort of the mediator between the bromance.
Yeah, we're missing a Brett. There's normally two Bretts and a Mike here. So.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm normally stuck in between the Bretts.
Funny story. That's the other name of the show that we could have gone with. Yeah. Two Bretts and a Mike.
Anyway, so
we digress very fast.
So nothing can happen without trust.
And exactly.
Then, and then the speed at which business happens depends on the level of trust that's there.
Yes.
A lot of people and companies try and create trust or build trust by banging on about themselves.
Yes.
Let me tell you about us and our brand and our reputation and how long we've been in business and where our offices are and how many awards we've won and what the analysts think of that. And I don't think that builds any level of trust at all. That you got to adopt the view the customer wouldn't even be talking with us if that stuff wasn't a given.
Yeah.
The way you create trust is by understanding, listening, asking great questions, showing you have empathy for them and their situation.
Yeah,
so if you can show, you know, if they, for example, if they're a CFO, if you can say, hey, in working with other CFOs in your industry, some of the common challenges we're seeing them grapple with are these.
Yeah.
Are you in the same sort of situation? Would love to share some things we're seeing with organizations that have really moved the needle on this particular metric.
Yeah.
Now they're going, wow, I want to have a conversation with
this person. I'm in the trenches with this person.
Yeah, and that conversation will lead to how we can help,
but
we're actually all about them and the situation. So if you can use technology to help inform those conversations, then that's brilliant. But to me, automation and technology and all of these other things, if you're just helping people transact a commodity, fine, get people out of the way and make it easy.
Like absolutely.
We think about our banking experience. Yeah. I don't want to talk to someone in the bank. I just want to get online, use my app, and if I have to call my personal business banker, great. And if I go into a branch, that's all. If I have to, but I'm happy to transact without people. But in that Apple example, when I do want to talk to somebody, then if they can provide the value.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just to take that idea of trust and the speed of trust a step further. I mean, when I was at Varsity, we did like Porter's four model, four forces, complementary, supplementary, etc. But if we look at the world of experience today and how important it is, because ultimately it doesn't matter what vertical or what business I'm running, I'm ultimately competing with everyone else's quality of experience. So I could be running a cell phone company and I'm actually competing with Amazon on their Kindle, because in my mind as the consumer, I'm comparing the experience. So as a very simplistic example around this, If I have a problem with my Kindle, I pick up the phone, I'm probably be speaking to someone in Ireland, but I've got a new Kindle here in South Africa the next day at my doorstep.
Wow.
Whereas if I've got a problem with my cell phone company here in South Africa, it takes me a week just to get a cell phone from one point of Joburg to the other point of Joburg.
Yeah.
And I'm comparing the quality of experience and I'm looking at the cell phone company and saying, you're doing a bad job because Kindle can do it better. What's your thinking around that point and the quality of the experience and how we need to compete in this age of experience?
Yeah, so telcos face big challenges. The biggest telco in Australia, the ex-government telco that then privatized, they had a CEO join the company and he said to the employees, we are done. We are done with all of the excuses about why we can't deliver great customer experience.
Yeah.
I know all of our systems are crap. You know, there's all these legacy systems that don't talk to each other. They've got call centers offshore in places like the Philippines and India. He said right now 40% of the at-risk money for every employee, so every employee that's got an at-risk component, commission, bonuses, whatever it is, 40% of that is going to be based on customer experience scores.
Okay.
And you will be human middleware that inserts yourself into all of this to resolve people's issues.
Yeah.
So if someone walks into a store with an issue, you like don't send them off to the call center or to a website. You jump online and do it all for them to actually resolve the issue. So
the rules have changed.
They absolutely have. Yeah. And Let me just give you one other really interesting stat. Yeah. Is yes, we're competing against non-traditional competitors as well as our traditional competitors, but if you aggregated the B2B sales data in the world
yes.
into one big CRM system and after a year extracted it all and ran a report on deals lost, 25% of deals that are lost get lost to do nothing. They get lost to status quo. So,
okay.
Our biggest competitor is not a traditional competitor, even a disruptor. Our biggest competitor today is the customer just staying in current state, deciding not to change, deciding that the pain of same is worth putting up with rather than the risk and the pain and cost of change.
Yeah.
So sellers today have got to, if they're in complex selling, we need to be good at anchoring the business case value and showing that we're best value and lowest risk. You know, that we're a good cultural fit in working with their organization.
And there's true impact on the after the execution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Tony, really last point from our side, Brett. B2B, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You're the master there. Just give us a bit of a, because this is the fun part.
Yeah. Well, three years ago, I was coaching and mentoring a client in America, and he said to me, I read your book. It's the best book on selling I've ever read. Your stuff's all awesome, and no one's heard of you. You know, why aren't you active in social? And I just groaned and rolled my eyes and said, who in the world has time for all that narcissistic blasting and spamming and social? Long story short, he convinced me over about a 6-7 week period I was wrong. I got serious about my brand in LinkedIn. I've become the most read person on the face of the planet in LinkedIn on the topic of B2B selling. There's a few people with more followers than me, but I've got the most engagement and most reads. I've published well over 400 original 1,000-word-plus articles in LinkedIn. So
that's work,
It is, but for me, and the thing, if everybody listening to this, you need to decide, go and be where your customers are. And as an example of this, that Qantas QF32 story I told, when I interviewed Richard Crepin in his home, I then wrote a white paper about the whole thing and I related it to customer experience. Everyone Represents the Brand was the name of the white paper. I put it up on my website for free, not behind a form, just on my website for free. And in an 15-month period, I had less than 100 people download that paper.
Yeah.
I put the same content in a blog in LinkedIn. I think I'm up to well over 300,000 reads of that article
now. Wow. So impact.
So the power of giving content away and going where your market is. If you're in, obviously, in retail or B2C, it's Facebook.
Yeah.
Go and just be where your customers are and think about what do my customers look for before they'd ever know to look for me?
Yeah.
What are the things that trigger them down the path that eventually leads to me? And then what would they go and look for? So for me, my sport I do with my family is wakeboarding. We bought a new wakeboard boat, and the car we had wasn't rated to tow the new boat. So the trigger event was we bought a boat, and what that triggered was the need to buy a bigger four-wheel drive.
Yes.
But when I Googled 3,500 kilo towing capacity, I had nothing come back, not one thing. So none of those, and there's only four four-wheel drives, you know, in reasonable price ranges that tow that much. None of them had thought about what triggers someone down the path.
100%.
Let's put some content out there that educates them and helps them. So if we think about that, the question is, what do people look for online before they know to look for us, and we write content about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So where do they find you on LinkedIn? Sorry, Brett.
No, that was exactly where I was going to ask.
Yeah, so if you just search for Tony Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, in LinkedIn, you can find me at my website, so rsvpselling.com.
Yeah.
And on the landing page, if you scroll down, there's a link to my LinkedIn blog.
Wonderful.
And then my other public speaker website is tonyhughes.com.au.
Good. And to make it easy for your listeners, we'll put it into the comments of the notes.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Good.
Thank you so much for your time, Tony.
Thanks,
and
guys.
All the best for your travels.
Thank you.
Cheers, man.
Well, that was fun, Brett. I enjoyed that chat.
It really was.
Fantastic.
And that was just one interview of so many great speakers here at the CX and Innovation Tech Fest.
Absolutely.
So, if you liked this interview and you liked hearing all the thoughts and future explorations, then there's more.
There is. It's on the Futurology CX page.
Yes.
So please go and find those on there. Also on iTunes. And of course, if you want to be inspired within your organization, drop us a line, because what you've experienced here, we're quite happy to come and set up a framework within your organizations. Because the inspirational part of moving beyond the disruption and the challenge of technology is important to you. So thank you, Brett. I've enjoyed our time.
Thank you, Michael. CliffCentral.com.